Hello, everyone, and welcome back again to Global Tech Sailors Podcast. My name is Faith Kilonzi. I'll be your co-host today. I'm joined by Rona Joy, who's also from Global Tech Sailors, and it's going to be such an exciting episode because we have one of the favorite people we have in this data space, because we are talking data today. And let me give Rona a chance to introduce herself and just tell us how you're doing.
Hello, everybody. I'm so happy again to just be here and listen to one of the most resourceful people we have in data. I am doing fine. Faith, thank you for asking. You know, that question is taken for granted, by the way. I'm doing fine.
You're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Nice. I'm also doing well. So maybe let's just go straight into it.
Yeah.
Then how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel like just the way Rona is saying, it's an underrated question.
Yeah.
And until you're asked how you're doing, and then you start thinking about it, is when you realize, oh, by the way, I am having maybe this and this, and then I need to consolidate them to determine my feeling.
That's true.
Today I'm feeling good. This could be a good summary.
We are so happy to have you here. so happy.
I'm happy.
Just a bit of background. I think people really, we keep saying one of the people we know in the data space. But okay, so a bit of background. We've worked with Ken for, not directly, but also within the same organization for quite a bit personally, but you guys are still working together. And he's one of those people that when you know he's making a presentation about anything data, then you have to listen. You have to listen because you know it's going to be very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to, I always feel like I'll do a disservice if I introduce you for someone who is doing a lot of things. So please, just introduce yourself, okay?
Yeah, tell us who Ken Buki is. Ken Buki in the house.
Drum rolls.
Yes.
Anyhow.
Please, editor, take note. You have to put drum rolls there.
My name is Ken Buki. I like to describe myself as a versatile man or individual. I do a lot in the tech space as well as outside the tech space.
Yeah.
So in the tech space, I really love to work with data. That's the specialty that I've specialized with. And then I'm extending the work that I'm doing around data in the other fields that I'm involved in. And one of the fields that I favorably talk about is farming. And now I'm doing about drone data in farming, and then now putting in the skills about my data skills.
I mean, you're farming. Doing a lot. You're making us wonder, okay, what are we doing with our lives?
Really, now I've just said that I'm doing data, drones, and farming.
Hey,
I didn't say about academia. Pia.
Okay, yeah, I do a bit of academia.
Uh-huh.
More titles.
I lecture at KCA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Part time. I lecture anything to do with tech.
Yeah.
And then I'm an author too. By the way, I've written a book.
Yeah. Yes! An author. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I remember you too.
Yeah.
Yes.
An author as well. You guys, what are you doing with your lives?
Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Buki. And it's just an honor to have you here.
Thank you.
I know we're not going to say it enough times because, I mean, it's not every day that you sacrifice your time to come here and share your knowledge.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's good to have you.
Great
to have you. And also, I think it speaks to why we started this podcast. We started this podcast to just channel our tech knowledge to this space, and also just give our opinions while at it.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's also one of those things that we hope our listeners today will be able to understand what we're talking about, and also just share it with people. So please, if you're listening to this podcast and you've been listening to it long enough, you know very well that for this tech space, you need to share it as much as possible and get more people listening to us. And one of the things that we're talking about is something that's really been in the space for quite a bit. And in Kenya specifically, what inspired the topic is basically just what you need to know about data protection, data privacy, and the Data Act in Kenya, which is has become quite the buzz topic lately, because I think a few months ago, I don't know if it's a month ago, there were a few firms that were penalized for data privacy and data privacy issues, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Please, we might not use the right terms today, but Ken is here to
teach us, to educate us on the right terms.
Personally, I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. And it's just one of those things. But before we start, Rona, please, do you have any questions for Ken?
So I would want us to go a bit back a little bit and just tell us a bit of your background, in career-wise, how you got into tech, just your journey up to where you are, lecturer, all those things. Please tell us.
I'll have to see, because if I start talking about everything that I do, we might end up extending the
Maybe we should bring him again.
Oh, of course. Of course, we need like 10 episodes for you.
For Ken Buki.
Ken Buki, okay, please.
Let's start doing the life of. Let's first do the tech thing, and then we'll be able to look at the other ones.
Yeah.
Sure. So I started off my career in a funny way, actually. So I didn't know anything to do with tech. And then one of my aunts just asked me whether, when we were choosing like the courses to go for university, they asked me like, would you want to do this thing? I've been hearing that it's something nice and it could kind of fit with the personality that you are in. And so I applied for computer science. I was taken in for computer science, Chuka University.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I did 4 years, of course. And then I landed into the job market as a full stack dev.
Yeah,
I worked at Savannah Informatics as a full stack dev. Back end, front end. And then when I was in Savannah Informatics is when I realized that data is becoming a thing, because of the business and how the businesses are trying to differentiate themselves. And then at that point, I realized that if I wanted to work with data, I would have to gain more skills to be able to now play part in that data world. And that's why I went to do my master's. I went to do my master's in UK, in the University of Leeds. Then I came back. So basically that was my short journey in terms of how I got to where I am. So now when I came back, I really didn't want to stay out. My point was that I wanted to come back to be able to serve in the community that I've grown in and be able to make an impact in terms of the skills that I've got outside. And so when I came in, I looked for opportunities. At first, it was really hard to land a job because people were at that point not really aware of what is it that someone who says that is doing business intelligence or data analytics is doing. The question that was coming was, how are you going to bring value to us? And at that point, it was really difficult. So I ended up doing a few consultancies to be able to build a profile. And that's how now I got even invited to like jobs that I didn't even apply for.
Wow.
So far, so good. I've been in the industry for like 7-8 years. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, that's a very rich, heavy profile.
Very inspiring.
Very inspiring indeed. So we will maybe go again straight into the topic. And I would want you to just briefly, we have been talking about data, data. So what is this data protection that we are talking about? Just give us, educate us on, what it is and,
You know, when you say educate, I'm feeling like I'm being taken back to the lecture hall where the students once. I'll try and give you the idea of where whole the entire topic of data protection came from. So one of the things you realize is in as much as we are working in the tech industry, we are in an industry that we are encompassing ourselves in a place where there's business. So business is what drives data.
That's true.
And why I'm saying that is because without business, we'll not be talking about data.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
And if you begin thinking about business and how we collect data, mm-hmm. how we store data, that's now how you'll be able to build the case of data protection, data privacy, and data security.
Yeah.
So let's begin by trying to understand what business does so that you can be able to gain the context of protection of data.
Yeah.
So any business right now, the industries that you are in, whether health, agriculture, education, mm-hmm. all of them are using data to be able to either gain a competitive advantage mm-hmm. or be able to kind of differentiate themselves in yeah. terms of what they are doing.
Yeah.
And so as we are gathering this data and standardizing our processes in terms of the tools that you are using, in terms of the architecture, just the general tech architecture that you are using,
mm-hmm.
we now have to think about a couple of things. Who is accessing the data? Mm-hmm. Who is using mm-hmm. the data? If you want to share it, maybe to be able to have collaborations with other people, how is this happening?
Yeah.
And so the first thing to think about as we talk about data protection is where the data is coming from.
Wow. Yeah.
And then secondly, which people do not really understand is what we call data governance.
That's
so there are three terms here I want to demystify before we now get to say what data protection is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we have data governance, mm-hmm. we have data privacy, mm-hmm. and we have data security.
Yeah.
Data governance is the framework of all activities that will govern an organization or a business organization to say that this is how we collect our data, this is how where we put it, this is where we are able to share it.
Mm.
So it's just the framework around governing who, why, what mm-hmm. that is happening in the organization.
Yes.
And it's the first point for us to be able to even have before we talk about protection.
Uh-huh.
Because once we have the governance,
then
is
we
where
can,
now we can plug in how do we protect.
Yes. That's okay, yeah.
It's a fivefold kind of a process.
Mm-hmm.
So we first of all understand what we are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we can be able to talk about protecting it.
Yeah.
And preserving the privacy of, if now we talk about data subjects at this point,
yes.
how we can be able to preserve the privacy of the subjects that we are working with at that context that we are in.
Yeah.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
So we'll maybe define, and we can be able to start by defining what we call data. Let me start with what I have some quick notes here just to glance to make sure that I do the right definition.
We love notes.
I wish I carried a book. Yeah,
yeah,
we should have. You know.
So the right governance, now, we just talked about the governance. Uh-huh. Governance is the foundation of everything.
Yes. Yeah.
How we are able to put the right measures in the organization.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the second thing is the privacy.
Yeah.
So the privacy comes in two folds.
Yeah.
We have the business, the data is one of the business assets
mm-hmm.
that you need to protect.
Yes.
Okay. And in that asset is where we have the data subject
yeah.
who now is either an entity or mm-hmm. a person.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the second thing about privacy is the regulation.
Yes.
Where now we are mm-hmm. talking about data protection Act or the Data Protection Act
yeah.
as a regulation that encompasses or enshrines what you need to do to be able to
protect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes. Yeah.
And then the last thing now is the security. So in security now you're talking about the tools.
Yes.
Encryptions, all that kind of things.
Yeah.
And for you to be able now to make an inclusive picture of everything,
mm-hmm.
you need to understand those three terms and how they play part.
Yeah. Wow.
Please. Episode 2 is loading and wow, because we could actually go on and on about all these things and just to bring it home, and while we are just having this conversation is now I want you to explain to us from a business perspective,
yep.
from an individual perspective, and also, okay, let's work with those two.
Yep.
I'm in a business, I am generating data,
yep.
or I'm a business, I'm consuming data. And I'm an individual that my data is being used.
Yep.
Now, with everything to do with data governance,
yep.
bring it home.
Wow. Mountainous task.
No, just
okay.
low level.
Yeah. So let's take it from a business perspective.
Yeah.
And why I'm saying that is because I'm sitting at a point where I'm trying to interpret the value of data protection
yes.
yeah.
in the business
yeah.
to be able to kind of make sense
mm-hmm.
and understand why we need to adhere to it in
yeah.
terms of the compliance now I talked about.
Yes.
So one, as a business, you need to be able to first of all identify or understand how you're collecting data. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once you understand how you're collecting data, the second thing is to understand how you will protect that data once you collect it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
The third thing is to be able to detect if there's someone trying to get access of this data without my knowledge.
Yeah.
And that comes twofold. Either detect internally someone is sharing it without the right kind of permissions.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone is trying to access it
maliciously.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is to be able to understand how to respond if any of these two situations happen.
Yes.
And then the last one is to respond.
Mm-hmm.
So once I am able to see maybe this is happening, mm-hmm. how am I going to respond? So respond will come with something like, how do I recover
mm-hmm.
my control over mm-hmm. this data?
Yeah.
So bottom line, remember that data is an asset mm-hmm. and that is what you are protecting.
Yes.
Okay? So let's take, for example, a small business
mm-hmm.
that is doing online sales.
Yes.
So they are gathering data about people who are purchasing things.
Yeah.
Yes. Taking in their maybe phone numbers, date of birth. That's why you end up seeing them sending maybe birthday message.
Birthday. Yeah. Are they allowed to do that to anyone?
We'll get there. The regulation part.
Yeah.
So small businesses need to be able to understand
mm-hmm.
what data they are mm-hmm. collecting
yes.
for them to be able to know what to protect.
Yeah.
That's true.
When we talk about the regulation that is there, the Data Protection Act,
mm-hmm.
it specifies you that you need to do what we call data privacy impact assessment. The assessment is giving you an opportunity to evaluate your processes
yes.
to understand which data you're collecting,
mm-hmm.
How sensitive it is, because you have two kind of categories of data that you can collect,
mm-hmm.
personal data and sensitive data.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the times, people will only talk about the sensitive data because it's the one that has a couple of implications.
Yeah.
But all the types of data that can identify a person, what we call personal identifiable information,
yeah.
needs to be protected.
Yeah.
So as an e-commerce organization,
mm-hmm.
once you do like a data privacy impact assessment,
yeah.
you can now come and be able to establish the right measures on how to protect
yes.
that data.
Yeah.
So you'll come up with things like encryptions, you make sure you have SSL on
mm-hmm.
your domains.
Yes.
You can do any kind of security measures that you can imagine around tech.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go into the nitty-gritties, but you can do that.
Yes.
And then once you are done with that, you now set up even a framework where you can be able to detect, as I was saying,
yes.
any intrusions. Or as you exchange data, let's say we wanted to work with a marketing company
yes.
to be able to market for us our services and say that, for instance, as Jumia,
mm-hmm.
we have this service, we have this offer, blah, blah, blah. So most of the times we'll contract another organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings in the essence of data sharing.
Yes. Yes.
So remember, the subject that you collected data on does not know that you are sharing this
yeah.
data
someone
with someone else to be able to enhance your own
yeah.
business, okay?
Yes. Yes.
So the compliance issue now comes in at the point where we okay. want to be able to tell this business to make sure that they protect you as a subject, as a person who is interacting with this business,
yeah.
to ensure that you do not have any adverse effects once that data is shared.
Yeah.
And that's where now the Data Protection Act comes in
yes.
to enforce all the businesses to be able to adhere to the regulations that can protect
mm-hmm.
the data subject.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I feel like that's quite, the Act came in 2019, right?
Yes.
Yes. And before that, I feel like probably these organizations didn't care as much about, as long as they are doing things to, like the marketing.
Advance their business.
Yeah, to advance. They don't care about our data as long as they're getting in the customers and all that. So it was quite relevant, right?
Yes, it is very relevant.
What
one thing
say?
That, mm-hmm. before maybe we go to that, one thing that you need to realize is that before the Data Protection Act, there were
mm-hmm.
acts. Mm-hmm. I'm not a legal consultant here, but
yes, yeah.
there were acts or regulations
mm-hmm.
that tried to protect the consumers before then. So we had the Consumer Privacy Act,
yeah.
but really little known mm-hmm. not many people in terms of individuals would know that this is protecting them as a consumer,
yes.
and trying to regulate what these business organizations are doing,
yeah.
That would affect them.
Yeah.
So the Data Protection Act, if you look at it, has components plugged from Consumer Act, the Intellectual mm-hmm. Act. So there are a couple of acts that were there before mm-hmm. we implemented this Data Protection Act. And then, yeah. of course, the GDPR, which yeah. was more global,
yes. yeah.
didn't have an effect on mm-hmm. us as yeah. much as it would have wanted to, again, just bring the essence of data protection for yeah. individuals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I think I saw something the other day about how the GDPR is EU-based mm. and sometimes it doesn't really
yeah.
very much affect us or cannot be enforced here. Yeah. I can't yeah. use it as a basis of maybe suing an entity for my own data privacy
issues.
Yeah.
Breaches, yeah.
Yes. Mm. So I wanted to ask about what would you say are the implications, for example, now of a company that is not aware of this, or they are not really trying to work within the data. To,
yeah. Yes. So one of the things you need to know is that ignorance is no defense by law.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
So you cannot defend yourself.
So I can't go and like,
I didn't know.
Yeah, it is a business. I didn't know that the Data Protection Act existed.
Yeah.
Okay. And so with that, it means that every business needs to adhere.
Yes.
And needs to be aware of it, whether they consult someone to do it for them mm-hmm. or they have an in-house resource to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So the implications of not adhering to it are clearly stipulated by the Office of Data Protection.
Mm-hmm.
They're hefty.
Yes. yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if an organization really wants to protect itself
yes.
from those kind of fines that are being put,
yeah.
They would want to comply. And that's compliance true. Means now they need to do things like have the proper policies, documentation, mm-hmm. and get registered by the ODPC. One yes. of the critical things to do is that you need to be registered by the ODPC mm-hmm. as a data controller
mm-hmm.
or a data processor.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have the rights to do the things that outline what a processor can do mm-hmm. or a controller can do.
Yeah.
So that will maybe encompass the data sharing,
external
vendors.
External vendors, then you have to now say this is the limits of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only using this data. So as you write the policies that you need to write as a processor or a controller,
yes.
you'll need to define the boundaries of how you're using the data.
Yes. Yeah.
The data privacy impact assessment outlines all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a format that they have given to be able to show where you're using that data.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the limits, the boundaries of how you are able to process it. So that if someone will talk about, and I'll bring about the concept of consent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So consent, if you yeah. agree that my data can be used as you maybe come to the website,
yes.
then behind the scenes, the organization is saying, I can only use your data up to this part.
Yes.
And when you're consenting, mm-hmm. you have been outlined everything that that organization is doing so that you consent to what they are only doing.
Yeah.
If they do anything outside that, that's what we call a breach.
Yes, yes.
But
still on that, I think also for the people who don't read the terms.
Yeah, I was to say that. We honestly,
we just agree.
Ken, we don't take time to even, they are so long. So how do we even protect ourselves against? Okay, Amma, you will tell us.
For example,
you need to read. But I think what businesses are doing wrong is that they are doing jargons.
Mm-hmm.
Or really long stuff.
You tell ChatGPT, please.
Yeah. And then they are not publicly facing that someone can just look at it immediately and then they put it in a place where maybe you wanted to access a service
mm-hmm.
and they are putting it there for you to just accept it without having a proper time to
exactly.
so that you can submit someone.
Yeah, exactly. You really have chance to say no because you need that service. So you just
It's like a nudge that you are being kind of pushed without I feel like even if that is happening,
mm-hmm.
If you can take time and read, mm-hmm. you're at a better place to realize what you can do in case of a breach. Right? Because you'll understand their process. Mm. You'll understand how you can even be able to kind of pin them down, that you only say that you can do this.
Yeah.
But you did X, Y, and Z.
And then there's also someone else who is not directly in that process. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm sure you've seen this Kenyan, or all over the world, there are these money lenders platforms,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Mm.
Where you are the one who has borrowed the money, and you've given them consent to your phone book.
Yeah.
Why are they calling me?
Not even you. They didn't even call your cousins. They call people
anyone
from
in
your
phone
contact.
Book.
Your call.
Tell
our
owner to pay back the money. Otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is one of the things that Data Protection Act is coming to curb.
Yeah.
Because that is not the way this lending organization should act.
Yes.
If you have borrowed of your some fund and you're not able to pay,
yeah.
Your family does not need to know that you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So your financial status is private. And as you're talking about the private information,
yes.
Financial data is part of it.
Yeah.
It's private.
Part of it.
Right? Mm-hmm. So telling someone else that you, Rona, has not paid the Kaleka 5K and Ichikuwa, it really tarnishes their name, right?
And
the Data Protection Office is keen on that. I think
yes.
one of the organizations was actually also fined because mm-hmm. of that. And I hope that the rest will be able to comply.
Yeah.
And keep the data that they are collecting from the people they are lending safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I am curious on why mm-hmm. we took so much time, given that now we have seen that data protection is such a relevant topic.
Yeah.
How come we took so much time to come into it as compared to, let's say, the countries in the
yeah.
in the EU are better? So, or do we say it's Africa, or are there... Why now?
tricky question, but I imagine that we lag behind
mm-hmm.
in a couple of things in terms of the innovations that are taking part in the world.
Yeah.
And we don't see the seriousness of these things until maybe they impact us. So I think this came about when we saw the elections being manipulated using
yes.
data, and then that's when we realized that
the Cambridge
yeah. Analytica, our data could be used maliciously without us knowing.
Yeah.
And then now we decided, we started looking back and saying, oh, how do I protect this data? How mm-hmm. do I get hold of the data that I had already shared?
Yeah.
Again. So we lag behind in terms of understanding the implications of the different things that could happen if
yes.
we share data. And the other thing, I think, the concept of data monetization
mm-hmm. yes.
did not sync with most of
mm-hmm.
the Africans,
yes.
I would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Until they saw the impact that someone can harvest these amounts of data
mm-hmm.
and sell it to someone else at
yeah.
X amount, and then that's money.
Even at an individual
right.
level.
Exactly.
I mean, who knew I can scan my head to get some...
Exactly, you see that. So data monetization had not sunk in,
yes.
In the minds of people, and now it's when people are realizing that, oh, these as you're saying, data is an asset for the business.
Yes.
Mm.
It's an asset in many ways.
Yeah.
If I just come up with a website that is maybe doing this and that, I collect this amount of data, I
yeah.
have a target that I can sell to.
Yes.
I make money.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's a wake-up call.
I think also the ethics of it, though, how do we then... Because at the end of the day, we are living in a world where not everyone has good intentions and
yep.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give me all the... template
yeah.
of this is how
that's
I'm going
me,
to
yeah.
use it
yeah.
and you're still going to misuse my data and
yeah.
monetize it without my consent and
yeah.
all that
yeah.
and good case is what was happening in with the WorldCoin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
WorldCoin
oh,
came around in Kenya.
I remember
the other day
that bus.
Yeah.
People
the
are
money.
Making, yes, people are making some long queues just to make
yeah.
some 7,000 Kenya shillings. 7,000 Kenya shillings, like right now, is around $35.
Yeah.
Yes, thereabout.
Yeah, thereabout.
And
yeah.
it was good money. I mean, if I get it, I get full tank for my car.
And you've sold your soul.
And I've sold my soul.
Yeah, there's that part. Unknowingly.
Unknowingly.
So the concept you've just introduced there is what we call data ethics.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Data ethics is another topic that we will take an hour or two to discuss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, what that means is that you as a data practitioner, as
yes.
you're using data,
mm-hmm.
Are you able to adhere to ethics of
mm-hmm.
being able to protect the subject. Remember that as you are working with data, there is a person behind it.
Yes, yes.
Any point of data that you are working with,
yes,
whichever field,
yeah,
there's someone behind.
That's
so
true.
As a practitioner, and this is what I've been championing in the academia industry,
yes,
to have a unit or a course that is really specific to ethics,
yes,
so that as a practitioner, you know that I have an obligation to protect the person that I'm manipulating this data.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember the whistleblower of Cambridge Analytica.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's just ethics that prompted him to now whistleblow what was happening.
Otherwise, he would have even kept going on. I mean, all these elections have been happening.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And remember that all these systems are being built by a person.
Yes. Yeah.
So whoever is doing the app that is harvesting the contacts for that lender is a person.
Yes.
And they know that really that is not this the way wrong, to go up. It's wrong. They know. But because maybe ethics is a gray area for many people and maybe they have not been taught like this is wrong and this is right, then they can do anything and go free with it. I would imagine that we should be even pinning down the developer of a particular app because he's the one who implemented this and they have the right to tell the company that as a developer this is against my ethics.
Yes.
But I'm afraid to wait. I want to keep my job, you know.
You want to keep your
I am eating.
So imagine let me put it in this way to make it more scary or a bit scary for you.
Yes.
Imagine you implement a health system.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? That is harvesting some data that is sensitive and you as a patient or your mother as a patient comes in to use that particular system, right? Yeah, you got paid to build and you went away.
Yes.
5 years after you built,
yes,
your mother comes in to use the same system.
So it's a ripple effect.
Like it's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
So as people need to understand that whatever I'm doing, it will come back to me.
It will.
If I don't take the right or the necessary mandate to control the breach of data, the misuse of data, and anything that can cause an adverse effect to people, then at the end of the day, one way or another,
it will come back to me. Okay,
as developers, as people in the tech world, that's what you need to understand.
That's true. That's true. And it also just speaks to your character. How far are you willing to go to get money?
If you pay the bills, you know the economy may panda do. Yeah. We need to do what we have to do. Other than that, we have talked a lot about the organization, and I'm wondering. Yeah. So how is me as Rona?
Yeah.
How can I protect myself?
Yourself.
Am I first of all reading? That's one.
Well, that's one. I like to put it as a place of awareness for people who want to understand how to protect themselves.
That's
so you need to be aware, as you said. So reading stuff that what is happening, rulings that have been done, and understanding what was the genesis of the problem, so that this ruling was done and all that. But we have this concept of the digital footprint that you leave. Online.
Yeah.
So my advice to anyone who is using any digital platform is to limit the kind of footprint that they leave, because the footprint involves any data that you're submitting on these platforms.
Yes. Yeah.
You're going to this site, you register, you asked for your ID number, you put
it
there. Mm-hmm. The other one asks you for your date of birth, you give it, you ask for a bank where you live. So remember that if someone really wants to track you down, they can start collecting these footprints
that
you have left in different places. And there are people with accuracy of 1 hour or 20 minutes can predict where you are at a particular point in a week.
That's so creepy.
I know. I'm able to say, Rona at 10 p.m.
Oh my goodness.
On Tuesday.
Yes.
So that's the kind of awareness that people need to have to understand that data they are leaving at different points of the internet
can be
used to adversely affect them.
That's That's true.
And once they do that, if they start reducing their digital footprints,
yes,
that's a way to protect themselves.
Yes.
And then yeah. now the awareness of laws, regulations and policies yeah. that protect them,
yes.
give them the opportunity to stand and say, I only gave you the right, I consented to you to do this and that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't allow you to transfer my data to like the WorldCoin thing. Yes. I didn't allow you to transfer my data to whatever, Germany, yes. Europe, yeah. whatever place. I only allowed you to use that data internally and for these and these purposes.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you're not aware of that, how will you go and stand a case that this is misuse of my data?
That's so your first line of defense, awareness. You as a person.
Awareness.
Yes.
Yeah. And
make yourself aware.
This is such a nice conversation. Also gets me thinking because I love social media. I love the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making me start thinking about what I've been sharing online and all that.
Say that again, please.
Please. I know I've been fighting with Rona about this yeah. thing. That's why we are on this topic.
Uh-huh.
She's like, don't post.
Don't post.
Don't post. Uh-huh. Don't say we are at this place right now. Post after we've gotten home. You know
all these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they don't listen.
They don't listen.
They tell me I'm paranoid.
It's not about
you here to back me up today.
I totally understand you. And I'm backing you up on this because imagine
uh-huh.
you traveling.
Yes.
And you've just posted that, oh, I'm leaving this and this. I'm going to be, someone can estimate.
That's true. Here we come.
Yeah.
Here we come.
Can estimate that we're going to be at Nakuru in the yes. next 2 hours.
Yeah. Yes.
So before those 2 hours, I can hijack you somewhere.
That's true.
At
That's
a very true. Specific point where I know that you cannot yeah. be able to get help.
That's
so
true.
So some things don't need to be really shared.
Yeah. yeah.
That's
you
true.
Can say once you get there, oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nakuru, here yeah, we yeah. come. Yeah. You know, I'm already
yeah, once you're there. Or later, just say that I visited Nakuru, blah, blah, blah.
That's
mm.
true.
Some way to be able to deter the kind of real time that can cause us to have effects.
Yeah.
Negative true. Effects. Of.
This is such a good point to just finalize on this episode. And I'm inspired. I'm also educated. I'm inspired. And it has got me thinking about my own responsibility towards data mm-hmm. and also data awareness. And also as a developer, as a techie, and what my contributions are
yeah.
with regards to the things I'm building in this industry.
Yeah.
So can, even as we finalize, give us your parting shots.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
Just briefly tell us, Ken, mm-hmm. if I want to become a data protection
officer, yeah, okay. data protection
what
officer.
Can I do to get there? I really...
Maybe. Like, what are the opportunities yeah. in this space?
Ah, fantastic. The data protection officer is a term that was coined by the law mm-hmm. that you're looking at, the Data Protection Act.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an opportunity to have someone in the organization
mm-hmm.
Being the contact point for saying that this is how you're protecting our data, and in case anything happens around mm-hmm. our data, he's the person that is able to do that.
Yes.
Like do communications, mm-hmm. Say what is happening. But what I would like to say in terms of opportunities, that we have a lot of opportunities mm-hmm. on how you can get into this space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Data protection and the data protection officer, by mm-hmm. say, should not just be at a business person or a techie person,
yes.
but someone with the understanding of, you realize that it's about business, it's about law, it's about tech.
Yes.
It's like a sweet spot between the three
yes.
of them.
Yes.
So you need to have all that information. Anyone sitting in those areas can become a data protection officer.
Yeah.
But nice. Specifically in tech, we have things that I imagine that we need to be doing right now
mm-hmm.
so that we can be relevant
yeah.
as we try to comply with the Data Protection Act.
Yeah.
We have a concept that you're calling privacy by design.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as you're building... these apps that you're building, yes. web apps, mobile apps, we need to make privacy and mm-hmm. protection in that app.
Yeah.
So sit back and ask yourself, before I even start sharing this application to people,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
how am I protecting
yes.
those people yeah. as yeah. I build?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You get?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a field on its own that not many people have started venturing into.
Mm-hmm.
Privacy wow. by design.
Privacy yes. by design.
And then there's secondly, what we call privacy enhancing technologies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So privacy enhancing technologies are coming in to help organizations that maybe do not want to hire a DPO
mm-hmm.
or go the full fledged of having an in-house department dealing with data protection,
mm-hmm.
Automate some of these things.
That's true.
We have different types of privacy enhancing technologies.
Yeah.
So developers and people in the tech world now have an opportunity to plug in here in a very open field to be pioneers of these privacy enhancing technologies that can be able to help small businesses.
Yes.
Maybe e-commerce shops, people who are having shops here in town and all that
that
do not have the capacity to
hire
people, do this data protection and all that.
Yeah.
So those are two fronts that I believe that could be very opportune for people.
Yeah.
Lastly, is about just security as a field that people can be able to venture in. I remember I had this conversation when I actually came into the organization that we are currently working in.
Yes.
And I said that data privacy, cybersecurity is one of the hottest fields in the industry. And we needed to have a course on that. I think people are like, ah, dude, are you sure what you're talking about?
What is this?
What is this you're saying? And I specifically, actually, this was a point that I had made in terms of the business narrative that I wanted to drive.
Yes.
More ladies are doing well in cybersecurity.
Amen. Yeah, that's true.
And that was a statistic that I said that people really wondered, Mbuki, what are you saying?
I remember that presentation. Yes.
You remember?
Yes, I do.
1 year down the line, they are racing towards doing cybersecurity. We already have people trying to get into that. If we had tried to leverage on that immediately, then we'd be a market leader. Anyhow, we hope that we'll be able to go ahead and still be a market leader in that front. But cybersecurity is a front that is green and is there for people to be able to join. And they'll have the opportunity to interact with all these policies around protecting data, helping the organizations to be compliant and all that.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Now I know where to go.
You know where money is.
I know where
the
money
next episode,
is.
Rona will be talking about how she transitioned. Thank you, Ken, for coming here. And thank you for all this rich knowledge that you shared with us today. Please. Thank you, and you're welcome back again.
Because I feel like there is
a lot of things we haven't even touched.
We've only touched the tip of the iceberg.
Yes, please. The very tip. Yes.
So please, to our listeners, if so far you've enjoyed this content, what are you waiting for? Share it with someone, subscribe, follow, rate us also on other streaming platforms like Spotify, Podcast Casts, and all these other streaming platforms where you get your podcast from. So please, Global Tech Sellers, we are bringing you all these conversations. And thank you, Ken, for being here.
Ken, where can we find you? If I want you to be my mentor. You know, I have gotten a vision as I was. Where do I find you?
You can find me here at Global Sailors Podcast.
Yes, please.
I'll be here. I hope they'll take me back.
Please. Of course, we'll bring you back.
We will.
Yeah. On LinkedIn, you can find me. I usually like to start with my professional page.
Yes.
Yeah.
LinkedIn, Ken Buki.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter. There you can find me. And then if you don't find me in any of those places, you can find me at my farm.
At the farm.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you.
So Ken Buki on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Ken Buki. Yeah. Awesome. Buki. Noted that.
Okay. Thank you. And bye bye.
Bye bye.